Daniel this morning, the book of Daniel, chapter number 6. We're going to try to preach quick. I told them last week, I did not realize how quick service went by till we were sitting, eating lunch, and we left, and it was still 1:15, and we were on our way home. Miss Sandy Jolly looked at me and said, "Preacher, do it today." And we got out of here quick, and it didn't seem like it went that fast, but I didn't preach real long-winded. And so you pray for us this morning. We're going to continue in our thought of the mountain movers. We've covered quite a few throughout this, and I have enjoyed the study, and I think everybody has to some point. And I'll say this to you. We live in a day and age where we need folks that are mountain movers, folks that have faith, folks that are faithful, folks that are doing things for God. And I'll say this. You may not be out here preaching to thousands. You may be just simply a prayer warrior in a closet, but your prayers are being answered. You're a mountain mover. Faith and praying and sustaining and being in fellowship with the Lord. That is what our purpose is. And as we come into Daniel this morning, you bear with us and you pray for us. We started on Caleb, went from Caleb to Rahab to Joshua to Joseph, and then we've came in to Noah Wednesday night. Now we're facing this morning Daniel chapter number 6. I'll say this to you this morning. We'll get started. We need to pray for our nation, and we need some mountain movers. And I don't know. I don't usually do the politics and keep up with all that. But it bothers me when on open television we can look at a man in his faith and say they have a mental illness because they say Jesus speaks to them. Boy, I'm going to tell you what, that's not something to joke about. I take my faith serious, and I'm thankful that God speaks to me, and I talk to God. And boy, I tell you, if they want to play that off as a joke, that's an insult to Christianity. That's an insult to God, and that's an insult to the church. And I'll say this, they want to know what's wrong with America. Right there it is. You've took God out of everything, and you don't worry about anything else. I'm not getting in a politic forum this morning, but God help us that we don't want anything to do with God, but we expect God to fix everything. God help us this morning. Daniel chapter number 6. If you're able and can, please stand for the reading of the Word of God. Daniel chapter number 6. Look with us in verse number 1. The Bible says, "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because of an excellent spirit in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm." Amen. You may be seated this morning. And we came into Daniel chapter number 6. Boy, I encourage you this morning at some point in time, if you get an opportunity to read and study the book of Daniel. Daniel often correlates through the book of Revelation and through prophecy, and it is much of a prophetic book. But in the first 6 chapters, you see a man by the name Daniel. And if you study the history and career of Daniel, Daniel was much like Joseph. Joseph was sold into slavery. So was Daniel. A king had a peace over Daniel, and a king appointed Daniel and Joseph both to a ruling position. So God's hand was upon Daniel even from the beginning. You won't find much of the history of Daniel except in Daniel chapter 1 and verse number 3. There you'll see Daniel. One of the famous chapters out of the book of Daniel is in chapter number 3, where you see on the scene of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being cast into a fiery furnace. You'll see that King Nebuchadnezzar at this moment in time was king over Babylon. And during this time, they had made a decree about Christianity, much like the day and age that you and I are living in, that they'd be cast into a flaming fire. Nebuchadnezzar in chapter number 3 and verse number 25 makes one of the greatest statements in the Old Testament. He answered and said, "Lo, I see 4 men loose." Now, boy, it'd be easy to say that he was envisioning things in that fiery furnace. But Nebuchadnezzar goes on to state, he sees these 4 men in the midst of a fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the 4th is like the Son of God. Boy, isn't it amazing that even Old Testament times, that a wicked ruler would be able to spot the Son of God. Boy, isn't it a sad day that we're living in, that people cannot even recognize the presence of God, cannot even recognize who God is, and can't even recognize God as a sovereign authority. I'll say this to you. God has been better to America than America has ever deserved. And God has been better to you and I than you and I have ever deserved. And I'll say this to you this morning. I am blessed in the simple fact that I can come into the house of God with like believers, with the sacred word of God, and preach the things of God. Hey, better than that, I can feel God, I can hear from God, and I can feel His presence in this place. Boy, I'm thankful for that this morning. Nebuchadnezzar recognized the fourth man in chapter number 4. Nebuchadnezzar writes this in verse number 3. How great are His signs, how mighty are His wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and His dominion is from generation to generation. Boy, don't you think it'd do some good if our leaders of this country would recognize God? I'll say this to you this morning. Don't you think it'd do some good if our Baptist church members would recognize God? Listen to me. I'm telling you, we're living in a day and age where folks think God is a puppet. They think that God is on a string, that when they speak, God jumps. Listen to me this morning, and I'll say this as comforting as I know how. God does not need your direction. And God does not need you to tell Him what to do. Honey, I'm telling you, God's got this thing under control. Hey, better than you and I have ever seen. God has got this thing in the palm of His hand. And you say, well, preacher, if God really loved me and if God really loved this family, why does God allow bad things to happen to good people? Hey, I'm telling you this morning, there is none good. I know not one. Listen to me. Honey, I'm telling you, God's been better to us than as wicked people than we've ever been to a holy God. I see in Daniel chapter number 4 that Nebuchadnezzar dies off of the scene, and going into chapter number 5. Did you realize that Daniel's name was not Daniel? Listen to me. Daniel's name was Belshazzar. And you look in chapter 4 and verse number 8, you'll see specifically that Daniel's name was Belshazzar. And amazingly, throughout this chapter number 5, you'll see a new king by the name of Belshazzar. Daniel was Belshazzar, and then we have Belshazzar without the T. And you'll see that Belshazzar was the son of Nebuchadnezzar. And he's seen a hand writing on the wall in chapter number 5. To conclude chapter number 5, you'll see that Daniel gives an interpretation of the dreams. And Daniel had given interpretation to the kings before this. And that's what placed Daniel in the position he was. In chapter number 5, in verse number 30, the Bible says, in that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. And Darius and Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Boy, I want to say this to you. That's right where I'm at. I could not imagine being 32 years old and being a ruler of a kingdom. You say, preacher, why is that? Boy, I struggle with leading 60 and 70 and 80 and sometimes 100 people pastoring. I struggle every service to lead them and put them in the right direction. Could you imagine being a king and having nations following you? They were wise men. They were smart. The Bible says that it pleased Darius to set princes over the kingdom. Over these princes, he set 3 presidents. Isn't it amazing how a man of slavery has now became a president? Isn't it amazing that as Joseph was sold into slavery, how he once became a ruler in Egypt? Isn't it amazing that when you study about Moses, Moses felt that he had a speech impediment. Moses was a murderer, yet Moses found himself leading the children of Israel. Can I say this to you this morning? God does not need those who are qualified, for He qualifies those who are unqualified. You say, preacher, what does that mean? You say, I don't have the ability to do this. I don't have the ability to do that. There's no way I could do this. There's no way I could do that. Listen to me this morning. It's not what you can do. It's what God can do through a vessel that's allowing Him to work in them. It's not what we can accomplish. The Bible then says that Daniel was preferred above the presidents. Why was Daniel preferred above the presidents? I've often had people tell me, they say, preacher, why doesn't so-and-so like to get along with me? Why don't people want to be around with me? When's the last time you said something nice? Let's be honest, that'll fly over like a lead balloon. When's the last time you had a word of encouragement? When's the last time that rather than to be negative, you were positive on something? Listen, you say, oh, preacher, but you just don't really realize how bad it's going to get. Listen, you don't realize how bad it is going to get. But what I can tell you, I don't care how bad it's going to get, I'm still going up. Listen to me, honey. I don't care what the economy does. I don't care what the government does. I don't care what society does. I'm thankful that God in heaven placed something on the inside of me. That, honey, though the world may be wicked, I've got comfort on the inside. Though the world may shut God out, I can talk to Him on the inside. Honey, I'm thankful when I got saved that God placed His Holy Spirit on the inside. And this world can't touch what's on the inside. They can't buy. They can't take it. It's God's, and God put it there. And I don't care what they do. I want you to notice what Daniel decided. In the first six chapters, you'll see Daniel was unwavering in his faith. You ever met somebody this morning who's on the mountaintop one day, then they're in a valley the next day? Men, don't you look at your wives. You will get in trouble. I mean, boy, they're shouting this day. And because it's raining the next day, they're down in the valley. Poor little Brooklyn just don't seem to understand why it rains. And we're trying to teach her to be thankful for the rain. I want to say this to you. I don't know why some of y'all get so grumpy when it rains. It starts raining, your attitude changes. But now in the middle of July, as we said Wednesday night, we was talking about Noah. Timmy and I have talked about that many a times. Because you wait till the middle of July when it's been hot and dusty and the temperatures have been 100 and you begin to smell that rain off in the distance and you can begin to feel that cool air coming off of that thunderhead, and then all of a sudden it starts raining. People are like, this is wonderful. 3 days later it's still raining and people are saying, I wish it'd go away. Then you know what they say, Brother Paul? They say it's too hot. During the winter, it's too cold. During the spring, it's too muggy. Y'all all right? You say, preacher, what are you getting at? We're not happy with nothing. We're not satisfied with nothing. Listen to me, if all God had done, and He didn't have to do this, if all God had done was saved your soul, that was more than you deserved. And I'm going to say this to you. I'm thankful for the rain, for it makes the vegetables grow. I'm thankful for the rain. Matthew, you hang on a minute before you hit me with a rock. It makes the grass grow and turn green. Amen. I'm thankful for the rain, for it keeps our wells full of water. I'm thankful for the rain because it cleanses the air. I'm thankful for the snow. I'm thankful for the sun. Hey, I'm telling you, if we just quit worrying about it and say, God, whatever you want, God, whatever you'll have, God, that's what I'll be satisfied with. Though it's not my way, though it's not my thoughts, God, I'll do what you want me to do. I promise you, you'll live a happier life. Daniel was not one who was up here and down here, up here and down here, up here and down here. It often looks like my preaching on the recording. It goes like this, depending on how loud I get. But we ought to be kind of on the flat plane. Just follow God. Daniel in the first five chapters simply follows God. In the midst of opposition, in the midst of mockery, in the midst of shame, Daniel follows God. You know what I find interesting about Daniel? Is when he tried, listen to me, when he prayed and when he gave the visions of the dreams, that Daniel still praised God. In Daniel chapter number 2, in verse number 19, the Bible says, then was a secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. He goes on to say, and He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with Him. I thank Thee and praise Thee, O God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me what we desired of Thee, for Thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. You know what Daniel said? Daniel simply said this, God, you know best. God, you know best. And God, I'm just trusting in you. Simply put, Daniel says this, God, you give me what I need to know and take away what I don't need to know. You give me understanding to understand the things I need to understand. And you handle the things that I can't understand. Daniel, simply put, God, you're wonderful. You're a counselor. You know what would happen if our churches would begin to see God as Daniel seen God? We'd be a whole lot happier people. Now that brings us into chapter number 6 this morning in verse number 3. I want you to notice what is recorded about Daniel. The Bible says, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes. He was exalted above them. I can't help but remember, and if I say this, many of you are going to remember. How many of you remember Miss Betty at Walmart that had the one arm? And I'm not making fun of her, but she'd say, welcome to Walmart. Have a good day. And boy, she was always happy. And now they get them young people out there, and they stand at the door of Walmart, welcome to Walmart. Hope you're having a good day. Thank you for shopping at Walmart. Come back to us again. Well, that really encourages me. I really want to go back to see them, don't you? But little Miss Betty, she had that one little arm, and she stood there, and every day she'd say, welcome to Walmart. Hope you have a good day. And boy, if she was talking to one here, and you got by her, and you were going out the sliding doors, she would holler, thank you for shopping at Walmart. Come back and see me again. There's been a lot of times, Miss Marie, I about run out them doors because she scared me. But she was happy doing her job. I mean, she was enjoying it. And you say, what happened? I preferred if I seen her at that door, that's the door I wanted to go in because she was pleasant. Listen to me. Some of you need to be pleasant this morning. Some of you say, well, preacher, nobody wants to have anything to do with me. What's your spirit like? What's your spirit like this morning? Oh, preacher, I've been through so much. Daniel witnessed 3 men be cast into a fiery furnace. He watched 3 of his brethren be cast into a fire for death. Daniel had every right to give bitter on God. Daniel had every right that he was sold in slavery, that he was thrown away to the side, that he was cast out. He had every right to be mad. Listen to me. Do not allow your circumstances to determine your joy. Listen to me this morning. I can't help if it's raining, but I can still glorify God in the midst of the rain. I can't help if it's 105 degrees, but I can still glory in His name for making another day. I cannot help when people get upset and get mad and get distraught, but what I can do is I can call the master of the sea and I can glory in His name that even though it's out of my control, it's still in God's control. I can glory in God's name. Notice what it says about Daniel. It said he was preferred because he had an excellent spirit. What does it mean to have an excellent spirit? Anna and I went to a fish fry last night at another church, and this couple had a 2-year-old. And Brooklyn, compared to their 2-year-old, looks like she's been on steroids compared to their 2-year-old. I mean, he's just a little old feller. I mean, his little legs ain't that long. And they were playing, and some of them was talking. They said, we don't know where he gets all this energy. Said his daddy's real laid back. Said his mama's real laid back. Said it takes a whole lot to get them excited. It takes a whole lot to get them going. But this little fella's running around going, ah! Said, we don't know where he gets it. Listen to me. Do you know on any given day, Jeff, I can be the one running around going, ah! If I choose to. Listen to me. I can't control. Listen, there's to a certain extent I can. But I can't control what cells are growing in my body. I have no control over that. I can't control. Listen to me. I can't control if I leave this parking lot and I'm going to meet a drunk driver. Brother Kenny, I can't control that. I can't control. Listen to me. I can't control if this spring a tornado comes through and rips the top off of my house and destroys everything I got. I cannot control that. Listen to me. if there was a fire and everything was to burn up. I cannot control that. Some of you say, well, to a certain extent you can. But listen to me, there are so many factors in my life that are completely out of my hands. I will not allow them to destroy my excellent spirit. I will not allow those things that I cannot control determine who I am and what kind of person I'm going to be. I choose to serve God in the good times and in the bad times. I choose to serve God. It's not about me anyways. It's not about you anyways. It's about Him and all about His glory. And all about His majesty. In the midst of suffering, God is still good. Daniel maintained excellent spirit. Let me ask you something this morning. What is your attitude? The Bible teaches us in verse number 4 and verse number 5 something known as jealousy. These other presidents and these other princes did not like Daniel. Because he was favored. Can I say this to you this morning? Listen to me. Y'all can be as honest as you can. Odin, you've seen this happen. I don't know how many employees that you have that works for you, Odin. But I imagine if one of your employees, you was to give them a $2 an hour raise. And that employee, maybe they were there early every day. They stayed on task. They went above and beyond what their job was. And Brother Odin, you really enjoy them. They had a great attitude about work. Listen to me, I don't know how anybody can have a good attitude working in a chicken factory. I couldn't do it. But Odin does. But maybe Odin, they had a great attitude and they went above and beyond. And Odin recognized them and said, you know what, we're going to give you a raise. That individual immediately, if they see that individual in the office, the first thing they say, oh, they're in trouble. Then there becomes a speculation. And then maybe they come out on the floor and they're happy. You know, God's just blessed them. And maybe somebody finds out they got a raise. Y'all follow me? Any of y'all ever seen this before? I don't know why they deserve a raise. I've been here 200 years. They don't appreciate me. Y'all all right? Can I get a witness this morning? Well, did not see me sweeping the floor the other day? You know what happens? All of a sudden, the person who is awarded for what they've been doing, everybody's like a pack of dogs and jumps on them. Somebody in church goes and buys a brand new vehicle. There's always that one who speculates, say, well, they must have got a raise. Wonder what they done to get that. God, I've been serving you 30 years, and all I ever get is an old beat up piece of junk out of a junkyard that I fix and drive. Why don't I get blessed with something like that? Or you hear tell of a church just having one of them services where 7 or 8 people are saved, and the first thing that happens, people walk in, sit on the pew, and they go, I wish our church was like that. Y'all right? Why don't that happen here? Listen to me. Praise the Lord if God's working and people are getting saved. Honey, I don't want what they've got. I want what God's got. And honey, I can't control what God does in my life. And I promise you, when God starts blessing you, the devil will start fighting you. And these men got together and they went to the king. Boy, the king, I'll say this to you. The king really wasn't thinking. It teaches us that here, as Darius is the king, that he knew Daniel, that he enjoyed Daniel, but he really didn't know Daniel. For they talked him into putting up a decree that said, if anybody asks anything in any god or anything, we'll cast them into the den of lions. And we'll seal them. And King Darius, in chapter number or verse number 10, we see Daniel praying in secret. We see Daniel praying behind closed doors. But the enemy was wanting to find a cause. Can I say this to you? As a Christian, you're living in a glass house. When you put on the title Christian, you are putting on mockery. You're putting on being spit upon. You're putting on being hated. You're getting, listen to me, you are going to be called a bigotist. Y'all right? You're going to be called racist. You're going to be called prejudiced. Listen to me. It's not being racist. It's just having morals. Listen to me. It's not being prejudiced. It's not bigotry to tell that the Word of God says that homosexuality is wrong. I'm founded upon that. Listen to me. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, and the end thereof is destruction. Listen to me. I'm telling you, we think we got this figured out when we ought to let God lead us. And these other presidents didn't like it. And so Darius signs this decree. Daniel, realizing what's a foretime, he doesn't sit down at the lunch table and look at them and pray. He doesn't go around boasting, well, I don't care what he says, I'm going to do it anyways. He doesn't go around boasting saying, he'll take care of me, I'm not worried about it. You know what Daniel does? Daniel goes to a secret place. It'd do some of y'all good this morning, go to your secret place. Amen. Just get away from everybody else. Just you and God doing business. And three times a day in verse number 10, Daniel prays. Daniel had faithfulness. But these evil workers still see him. Brother Kenny, they spy on him. They're looking for a fault. Can I say to you, we live in a society that's wanting to find fault. We live in a society that people want to find fault with the preacher. He could preach the best message you've ever heard and say one wrong word or quote one wrong piece of scripture, and people walk out and say, did you hear what he said? They've missed everything else. Listen to me. Rather than keep our eyes on negative all the time, why don't we see what God is doing? It might improve your spirit. Daniel prays, and they go before the king, and they tell Darius, listen, Daniel's over yonder a-praying. You signed this decree. Darius was grieved at his heart, but he went and took Daniel. You know what I find amazing? Nowhere in here does it record that Daniel was fighting and screaming. Do you hear me? Nowhere in here does it record, Brother Paul, that Daniel was punching out the guards. Nowhere in here, Dad, does it say that he was lashing out. You ever met that Christian that says, when I get an opportunity, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind? Listen to me, I want to tell you something this morning. If you've said that, please don't, because that's the only little piece you've got. And if you give it away, you're going to be a zombie. Please don't do that. When I get opportunity, I'm going to tell them what I think. Please don't. Listen to me. They already think you're weird enough. Don't go ahead and prove that you're really that weird. Don't do it. You say, preacher, what should I do? You should say, God's got this. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to fret. I'm not going to get upset. I'm just going to go with it. God's let it come. God's going to take care of it. God's going to give me the strength to get through it. We'll just go on with it. I want you to notice not only Daniel's faithfulness, but in verse number 16, I want you to notice the king's faith. Listen to me. You may never know who's watching that you're rubbing off on. You may never know who's watching you, who's paying attention to you. Maybe it's the very one that is bringing evil against you is simply watching you to see how you react. Darius, the king, was to be the one that put Daniel in the den of lions. Notice what he tells Daniel. He says, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. He didn't pat Daniel on the back and say, Daniel, I'm sorry this has happened. He didn't pat Daniel and hug him and say, Daniel, I'm going to give you a road of escape. He says, you know what, Daniel, I signed it. I'm going to do it, but I believe God's going to take care of it. I want to tell you something this morning from the pulpit in Ronda Baptist Tabernacle. I don't care what you're facing. I don't care what you're doing. I don't care how high the bills are. I don't care what kind of diagnosis or prognosis you've got. I don't care who's being mean to you and who's being ugly to you. I don't care what's about to happen. Some of you feel like this morning that you're just about to die. But I want to tell you this morning. My God can deliver you. He's done it before. He's done it again. He is able. He will be able. And He will continually help if you'll turn to Him. God is able. Daniel gets pitched into the den of lions. You know, I imagine Brother Quinn, them presidents sat back and said, oh, Daniel, boy, look what you had happen to you. You ever met somebody, they've told somebody off? Listen to me. I want you to pay attention. Maybe they got mad at church and they went and found them a new church. And boy, they're just bragging about how good it's been. And boy, they're just bragging about how good God is to them. And for a little while there, boy, it seems like they're just reveling in the joy. Maybe they've done something ugly to you on the job. And boy, it seems like they're just reveling. And then all of a sudden, they're coming in, their heads all bowed down all the time. Well, what happened? You ain't going to believe what happened at home. You just ain't going to believe what's going on. You wouldn't believe what money I'm going to cost or what this is going to cost. You wouldn't believe what's happening. I want you to pray for me. But you know what? Judgment has a way of working itself out. David wrote in the book of Psalms 118 in verse number 6, and simply put and paraphrasing, that I'm not worried what any man can do to me. Jesus taught us that if a man saves his life, he loses his life. And can I say this to you this morning? Daniel was not worried. He knew God had it. Can I say this to you? There's always that crowd that, boy, they feel big and puffed up. And they're joying. Look at them suffer. Look at them hurt. Look at what they're going through. And boy, they sit back and they rub their chest and say, I really got them. Boy, we're even now. They got what was coming to them. I believe King Darius went back to his house that night, and I believe he got to a place and he said, oh God, what have I done? I didn't consult with Daniel, but these wicked men got my mind, and look what I've done. This is one of your men, and God, look what I've done. I believe Darius' sleep that night was wrecked. And the Bible teaches us the very next morning that Darius came down in verse number 20 and says, Daniel, oh Daniel. Daddy, I believe he was grieved at his heart for what he had done. I believe on the inside he thought, man, they done made sandwich meat out of him. The best one that I had is gone. The one who was I favored was gone. He's devoured. It's going to be a bloody mess. Look what I've done. And King Darius says, Daniel, oh Daniel. He said, servant of the living God is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions. I believe he got down out of that pit, Brother Odin. He pulled that rock back and he removed the seal. And I believe he said, Daniel, oh Daniel, that God whom you serve, whom you live for, and whom you're trusting in, was he able to deliver you? You know what Daniel should have said? Go on and leave me alone. It's too early. You say, well, preacher, what's that mean? The Bible said in verse number 19, he arose very early. He got out before the sun was really full speck. The Bible said in verse number 21, Daniel said unto thee, King, O King. You know what he said? He said, you're just doing you as a man of your word. He said, you're still my king. He said, you're still my ruler. He said, but King, oh King. You know what he didn't say? When I get out of here, you've had it, buddy. Daddy, he didn't say, when I get out of here, you're coming in. But he said, King, oh King. I want you to notice he says this, live forever. You know what Daniel did? He even had respect for those who done him wrong. Listen to me. If thy enemy hunger, feed him. Thy enemy thirst, give him drink. You say, why do you say that? Paul recorded, the Bible simply says this, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. You say, what happened? Brother O'Dean, I believe that crowd was standing back and they watched Darius as he run out there and they said, boy, old Daniel, the one he pet and pampered, the one he had favor on, he's down there, he's been eat, he's been gone. But I believe when they heard the king say, Daniel, oh Daniel, I believe there was a pause and they snickered. Boy, I believe their attitudes changed when they said, he heard him call back out and say, King, old King, live forever. I believe something in the pit of their heart. Honey, I'm telling you this morning, you can be threw in the midst of the fires of hell. But if you're serving God, honey, I'm glad there's a fourth man loose walking in the fire. Honey, if you're through in the mouth of the lion, honey, I believe God's in the very presence. And I believe deep in the bowels of their heart, they knew they had crossed God. Listen to me, I'm going to tell you this. You cannot cross God's people and get by with it. Mark her down. You can't go against God and get by with it. You say, preacher, why is that? Notice God's deliverance in verse number 20. But in verse number 24, notice God's judgment. I want to say this to you this morning. I'm often asked, preacher, why does it seem like those who are so wicked are living so good? Listen to me. This may be the only heaven they've got. This may be as simply as good as it gets. I want to say this to you this morning, preacher. They've wronged me. Pray for them. Preacher, they did me ugly. Pray for them. Listen to me. I've had to deal with some situations with some folks in here, and I've not changed on this stance. And every time they've come to me and talked to me, I simply tell them this. Love them. Love them. Pray for them. Be nice to them. Listen to me. Down there at work, boy, I've been mocked. I've been talked about. I've been ugly to. I've been talked about in the plant. But you know what I get to see? I get to see one of my employees come to church here now. I get to get a text message from his wife thanking me for being his boss and thanking me for this church and for us, God putting us in their family in the midst of this trouble, in the midst of this trial. Honey, I'm telling you, even when them are being wicked, honey, you maintain your posture. You maintain your spirit. Honey, you just stay true to God. You say, God, you got this hanging upon your hand. I'm not getting upset. I'm not getting bent out of shape. God, you're going to deliver it. And God, your judgment's going to come. You say, what happened? Those who destroyed the man of God got destroyed by the same lines that protected Daniel. Now, I don't know this for certain, Brother Bill, so bear with me. But I can't help but think, Brother Johnny, that Daniel curled up with them lines. In the midst of that night, I believe he curled right up in the midst of those lines. And I can't help but believe every now and then when them lions would reach over and lick him on the face and he'd hit it until it quit. I can't help but believe in the midst of that rocks. Listen to me. I'm going to say this to you this morning. I'm going to move on. It wasn't a lion's den. It was a den of lions because the lions were put there. A lion's den, Brother Chuck, he might be at home and he might not, but these were there. But I can't help believe that in the midst of that, Daniel talked to him. I believe when he was put in that pit, listen to me, I don't believe he fretted. I don't believe he got over in the corner. I believe he said, God, if this is how you want me to go, I'm ready to go. God, if this is the end of it, I'm all right with it. God, if this is how you want me to live this life, if you want me to live at the hand of the wicked, God, I'm all right with that. Some of you this morning need to get a hold of that and say, God, if this is what you want, I'm good with it. God, I'm satisfied with what you want. But I tell you this, I believe when Daniel came out of that pit, I believe that king walked over there to them others. He said, go get your family. Listen to me. Their wives didn't have any part of that. It was the leaders who had it. Listen to me. Their children didn't have any part of that. Their kindred didn't have any part of that. But I want to tell you this. God's judgment falls on that wicked one and those who are around them. It costed them men. It didn't just cost them their life. They was trying to get rid of Daniel. It cost them their life. There's babies' lives. Their wives' lives. Listen to me. I'm going to say this and I'm done. I believe Daniel didn't walk over there and say, you got what was coming to you. I said this Wednesday night. My mama, when I was growing up, her favorite words to me was, I told you so. And Brother Bill, I try to avoid that conversation as much as possible. When mama says, you just better leave it alone, guess what? I found out, Timmy, it's better to just leave it alone than if I go messing in it, Brother Bill, and I get to messing in that stink, and I come in and mama said, I told you so. Y'all pray for me. I'm trying to get my mama to go coyote hunting with me. Y'all pray for me. But I'll say this. Daniel didn't walk over there and gloat and glory in their suffering. I believe Daniel walked off and he said, God, thank you for caring for me. But God, I pray for them that they was ready to go. I believe us do us some good this morning if those who's despitefully used us, we just start praying for them. Say, preacher, how can I be a mountain mover? Maintain peace with God. Stay faithful. Serve those who are over you faithfully. Don't be greedious. Don't be envy. Don't gloat. God will deliver. And God will bring judgment. Heads bowed and eyes closed as Miss Jody comes this morning.